In 2022, the WA publishing house Fremantle Press started putting out an annual collection of writings about the songs of an Australian music legend. First it was Paul Kelly, then Nick Cave, then Kylie Minogue, and the latest collection is called Rivers Flow, and it's a series of reflections about a great power couple of Aboriginal music, both of whom sadly are no longer with us, Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter. The collection was edited by Casey Mulder, who's also the Director of First Nations Writing and Programs at the Centre for Stories in Boorloo, Perth. Casey, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me, Julian.
Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter were partners in music, but also in life. Can we just start by hearing a little bit about the story of their life together?
Absolutely. So as Aboriginal people, we are so keenly aware of, as you call them, this power couple, not just in music, but, you know, their love and the way that they shared that with us as a country. And, you know, really they bonded over some of the things that they suffered as Aboriginal children, both being taken from family. And beyond that, they both found a way to make sense of their experiences and reconnect with culture and family through the power of storytelling and storytelling in music. So for us as Aboriginal people, we have this incredible affinity, not only to them as people, but to the way their songs spoke of all of our experiences.
Yeah, the curator of the collection, Kim Scott, says in the introduction of Rivers Flow, some human voices can work magic. What's your sense of the magic of Archie's voice and of Ruby's voice?
Absolutely. Great question. So I'd like to refer to one of the pieces in the collection, actually. Gina Williams, an incredible songwriter and storyteller herself, speaks of her early days on the stage as she and her late partner Guy were finding their feet as musicians and storytellers themselves. And, you know, nerves overwhelmed her and she was quite overcome on the stage at Nanup Music Festival here in Western Australia. And Uncle Archie was sat halfway down the crowd and just silently raised his fist to the air and then affirmed her from the crowd. No worry about whether people were going to look his way, but just knowing that this young Aboriginal girl on the stage needed someone to stand with her in that moment and encourage her to find her own voice. And I think that speaks to the way both Uncle Archie and Aunty Ruby moved through the world.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you about Gina's piece in particular for so many reasons. She writes in the book that just about every Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person has a story about when they heard Took the Children Away or when they first heard Archie Roach perform.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you like the promises.
She's also got an excellent description of Archie as well as her own mother as a living and walking masterclass of grace and dignity in a world of pain. But I imagine, Casey, that there was more than one person who was more than happy to write about Took the Children Away.
Absolutely.
So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit more about Gina's piece and how she managed to nab that song to write about.
Yeah, so that you're absolutely right. Took the Children Away was the most popular song selection for this piece. And we've been asked before how we made these selections, and really we were just completely equitable about it. That age-old way of managing such things, which is first come, first served. I think Gina's connection as a child that also grew up in foster care herself, her affinity for that song in particular, meant that she was very, very quick to respond and ask to write about that one. And we were able to work through with the other writers who had requested that song for them to delve even deeper into the collection of songs from these two amazing songwriters. And as you'll see in the collection, you know, it's really incredible for us all to discover songs that maybe we didn't know as well. And I remember for myself, you know, being a young primary school student in Quiriding, where I grew up, sitting in music class and hearing that song for the first time as a child. And I honestly think it was the first time I had heard Aboriginal music in a school setting, but also as a very empathetic child, just being so moved by the telling of that experience.
Came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried. Go get
it's a really diverse collection of writers and forms of writing that you've brought together in Rivers Flow. I wonder if you could just give us a sense of what the form of the collection is.
Absolutely. So it's a huge honour for me to have sat with Kim Scott and built our dream list of contributors. And I will say that every single First Nations writer and storyteller we approached said yes, but some of them just didn't have the ability to fit it in within their schedule. So this could have been probably four or five times the size.
I bet.
And what I love about it is that we've got really established storytellers and people who are very established in their careers too, who aren't always known first and foremost as writers, alongside some really incredible young poets and young writers. And so we have some people writing in prose. You know, I'll speak to probably Bruce Pascoe's piece and Claire G. Coleman's piece as real standouts in that space. And then we've got incredible memoir pieces. And I'm really honoured to have both Gina Williams, who we've spoken of, and also Lou Bennett share of their experiences sharing the stage with Uncle Archie and Aunty Ruby. I think framing the whole collection with those lived experience pieces really sets the tone. And then we have incredible poets in the collection. I speak to Dakota Fira, who's just released his debut poetry collection with UQP. So it's a real honour to have seen these stalwarts of literature and writing alongside some of our emerging mob. And I know that when the contributors saw the full list, even those who are much more established in their publishing careers were quite in awe of who they were sitting alongside in this collection.
I bet, yeah. And each piece, as you say, in so many different forms, is inspired by a particular song. And so I suppose that leads to the question, Casey, this is a book, but it's a book about music. What's the best way to get the most out of Rivers Flow?
Great question. So when I was editing this book, you know, after Kim and I built the list of contributors and we reached out to each of them and we encouraged them to take care and choose their songs, you know, each of them really went away and sat with the collection of music and came back to us, unless they were lucky enough to nab some of the more popular songs. And then the writers would send their draft pieces back to me. And even for me as an editor, every time I sat with one of these pieces of writing, I listened to the song again first. And I feel like this book has been such a rich blessing to me, not just in my journey in editing and publishing, but also as a person, because I got to fully immerse myself in these songs and therefore see how each piece really flows out of the storytelling. And so I would strongly encourage any reader of this collection to make sure we've made it really easy for you to see which song each piece is connected to. And I would absolutely say find that song, listen to it once, listen to it a couple of times, and then sit with the piece and read it. And I think it'll just add further gravity to your experience of engaging with these stories.
We're speaking with Casey Mulder, who is the editor of the collection of reflections on the music of Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter called Rivers Flow. And as you said, Casey, one of the great things about the book is that it takes you to other pieces of music that maybe aren't at the top of the greatest hits collection. Could we speak a little bit about Ruby's music? And could you tell us some of the songs that are reflected upon in Rivers Flow and how they're reflected on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'll speak to Lou's piece again. Lou speaks of Ruby's influence on her songwriting, but also on her performing. And I guess kind of the gravitas that Ruby moved through the world with, just this unapologetic way of taking up space and being herself in that way unapologetically. And I think the way Lou speaks of the fact that in after Ruby's passing, she was given the blessing by Aunty Ruby and Uncle Archie's families to continue to perform that song herself going forward as a way of grieving, as a way of healing. That's an incredible one that really stuck with me. And then another one of Aunty Ruby's songs, Down City Streets, which she and Uncle Archie both performed extensively, Claire G. Coleman's incredible short story based on this song really looks at the experiences of an Aboriginal woman who is living on the streets. And that is something that Aunty Ruby experienced herself alongside Uncle Archie. And I think it really takes us into the depths of that experience. And I love how it speaks to the way Aboriginal people who maybe are not housed are holding space for others who are going through that same experience, still standing strong in culture, supporting family, supporting other mob, even in the midst of some of those things that the rest of society might consider an extreme struggle. And I think it speaks to Ruby's deep empathy and understanding for other women.
Down to the streets, I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home.
Casey, what sort of reactions have you had to the collection since it's been released?
Yeah, we've had incredible responses. We were able to launch the book in Wallilup at Fremantle Arts Centre early in December, and we had a really incredible crowd there. We had five of the West Australian contributors read their pieces, and then we were able to listen to some of the songs there. And it was incredibly moving. I found, you know, emceeing that event was quite challenging in the sense that the weight of the significance of these songs and the courage and vulnerability of the writers in responding to the songs really moved the audience. And then we were also really honoured to be on a panel at Canberra Writers Festival last year, and Dakota Fira read his poem. Thomas Mayo moderated our panel. And then we had Darren Ricks, who is a nephew of Uncle Archie's, perform some music there. And again, we were really struck by how moved the audience was by the experience of listening to some of these songs as a group and then hearing, you know, a storyteller's response to how it's shaped them.
Yeah, it really is a great way not only to revisit the music of Ruby and Archie, but also then to be introduced to a whole range of writers and to see their reflections on these great pieces of music. It's a wonderful collection. Casey, thank you so much for coming on Sunday Extra and having a chat about it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Casey Mulder, who's the editor of Rivers Flow, Reflections on the Songs of Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter, which is out now via Fremantle Press and also has some excellent playlists associated with it.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.